look to the Lord, shall we? Father, as we approach you one more time today, we're grateful for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. We are undeserving of anything that you do for us. And yet, my God, you plead with us to come before you, to ask what we will. And Lord, you even admonish us with an earthly illustration. If a son asks his father for bread, will he give him a stone? How much more shall our heavenly Father give you good things? And even there, my Father, in that passage, you talk about the Spirit of God. We're thankful today that you heap blessing upon us, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And Lord, part of that is the gospel message. What a wonderful message it is. What a privilege that you have given to us to be your ambassadors as we go through the streets, in the homes, talk to our friends, neighbors, and family about the wonderful riches in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord, who gave himself at Calvary for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now we pray tonight that thou would have your way. We pray for every aspect of this service. Most of all, Father, we want you to be exalted and glorified, and we want to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As men look to him, they are saved. Not unto us, but unto him who died for them at Calvary. Well, thank you for what you'll accomplish and what you'll do tonight. From every aspect of our service, we ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
530, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. 530. Watch me, and we'll get through there. All right. Ladies, could you sing, ladies, everybody, all the ladies in the room, can you sing that second verse, please?
Wonderful to be with you, and I want to thank you for the years you've been a part of our ministry, helping us there in South Africa to reach the Zulu people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for all the various folks that have helped in the conference. And some folks here have been very busy helping with meals and various things. Thank you for that, for your hospitality. Well, we're in the country of South Africa, and I'm going to just stand a little bit to the side here. Actually, it's probably better over here. This is, of course, the continent of Africa. A lot of people get confused between South Africa and Southern Africa. So Southern Africa, if you see my red dot, it's the whole southern region. But South Africa is the southernmost country. So this sort of yellowish color you see there is South Africa. And we're in the city of Durban, which is near that word Lesotho. That's a separate country up here. But we're along the coastline there, in the area where the Zulu people live. And our weather there is pretty much like northern Florida, where we live at. So we have very hot, humid summers and coolish winters. This is the Indian Ocean at Durban. It's a major modern city, like any modern city in America. There are about 4 million people that live in the Durban metropolitan area. Another view of Durban, an 8-lane highway coming in and out of Durban. Beyond the buildings is the ocean. You can't really see it in this picture. But just so you understand, we do have modern cities there. It's about from where we live in here into the downtown is about half an hour drive. We do get traffic jams, by the way. Work hour, rush hour traffic jams. We get those over there, too. Well, in the outskirts of Durban is an area called Valley of 1,000 Hills. And we're working in the tribal areas of Valley of 1,000 Hills. The particular area we work in is called Fredville. I do not know who Fred was, okay? I really don't. But anyway, it's called Fredville. And you get the idea of some of the various houses. If you look here, you'll notice down here, this brown kind of house, that's a mud house. And probably this one over here is as well, just they've plastered it and painted it. So it looks like a block house. But some of them are block houses. You see like the rondavels, the round houses, especially those who follow ancestor worship. They like those round houses. I don't know exactly why, but it's their traditional house where they go to worship the ancestors. Another picture of our area. You notice some goats over here in the bottom right of the picture. Cows and goats just wander everywhere throughout the area. Usually at night, they bring them into a fenced-in area so they don't get stolen. So the visitation paths that we use, we out to visit people and preach the gospel. The house at the end of the path there, that's a mud house. A house here on the left is a block house. And another picture here of, sorry, I hit the wrong one. Okay, what did I do? There we go. I hit the wrong button. You pardon me there. This is a pretty steep path. This path is so steep, you don't really walk down in the rut. You step from this side to the other side. That's how you go down the hill, okay? So you don't want to wear leather shoes when you're walking down a path like that, or you'll end up in the middle of the path, sitting down on your bottom, okay? That's how it is. But these are the kind of trails we use. A friend was visiting me one day, and I took him down to the beach, and some witch doctors were there. They like to be called traditional healers, because they don't see them as evil like we think of a witch doctor, okay? So they prefer to be called traditional healers. And what happens is they go through about a two-year training period under another traditional healer. And one of them was graduating. And so they were doing their final graduation ceremony here at the ocean. And I got to witness to, now on the left here, this is a young man. The rest are women. The majority of our traditional healers or witch doctors are women. That kind of surprises some people, but that's just how it is there. Anyway, I got to talk to one of the ladies, witnessed to her, and she accepted a gospel tract. So we do get to talk to those from the traditional background. A man in our church, excellent. This is him, megaphone preaching. That's Fredville there in the background behind him, one of the areas. On the right here is excellent. On the left is peace. And they're out preaching with a megaphone, something we normally do on a Sunday afternoon. I get to a lot of funerals, and this tent here is for a funeral. You notice again the Valley of 1,000 Hills there in the background. A lady in our church, her sister died, and this was the adjoining tribal area. So I got to preach the gospel at a funeral there. This is a funeral right near where we hold our church services, and you can see a bit of the tent here. You see up there is a tent, and here's the side of the tent. The house next door caught fire during the funeral service. And they actually stopped halfway through the program. They just stopped. They were afraid the tent would catch on fire. It was that close. You could really feel the heat. The pastors were sitting up here across the front, and you really feel the heat. And so they just said, okay, off we go to the grave. And so they just quit. So I got to talk to some folks about hell. And, you know, the worm dieth not, and the fire's not quenched. but interesting things that happen. Another ministry is we get to go into the public schools. They allow me to come and preach the gospel. There are 12 different schools that I get to go to. And most of the schools, you'll have a lower primary or lower elementary up through about third or fourth grade. Then you have a what they call senior primary or elementary. And that goes from third or fourth grade up to sixth or seventh grade, depending on the school. Then high school starts at seventh grade and upwards. This happens to be a combined school. So they do from kindergarten right through to 12th grade, and they have over 1,000 students. So what a privilege to preach the gospel to these students. This is our youth playing Spoons. Some of you might know that game. And they get so excited, the tablecloth comes flying off the table. Okay, but it's a game. On Friday nights, I help another missionary. The man up front there, his name is Jeff Demarest. He has a church in town, and I'm out in the tribal areas. I help him with an addictions program every Friday. So most of these people we see are drug addicts, homeless. Majority of them homeless, live on the street. Most of them have family in the area because they've stolen so much from their family. They're kicked out. And so we give the gospel, teach them the Bible, give them a little bowl of food, and minister to them. Sometimes someone gets saved. The man next to me in the middle there, this was during COVID, you can see I've got a mask hanging down there. But the man in the middle, his name is Smalls. He's not the smallest guy in the picture, but his name is Smalls, okay? And he said he wanted to get saved, so I sat down, and the man next to him is Dion, and he sat in as I talked with Smalls, went through the gospel, and Smalls said, "I'd like to receive Christ." And of course, we want to make sure they're sincere. And I said, "You want to give your life away?" He said, "Yeah, I'm ready to give my life away." Because that's essentially what you do when you get saved. You're giving your life to Jesus. It's no longer your own, you see? So I said to Dion, "What about you, Dion? Are you interested?" And he said, "No." He said, "This is the first time I've ever heard this." Now, he had heard about Jesus. It's like a lot of people in America. They've heard about Jesus, but they don't know what that means to them. They're confused about salvation. So, you know, we think, oh, everybody in America has heard the gospel. Well, not with understanding. Okay, they might have heard about Jesus, he died on the cross, but what does that mean to them? Well, Small said he'd heard about Jesus, but he never heard the gospel before. He said, "I need some time to think about this." I said, "No, I'm glad you're honest with me. I don't want you just saying a prayer because you're trying to please some preacher. You need to believe, you see?" So anyway, Dion's still thinking about it. We're praying he'll get saved. This was our church service. We meet at a home currently, and the house on the left, they've given us a room there where we meet. This was during COVID. We had a meet outside. We were totally shut down for a number of weeks there. All meetings, not just churches, businesses, political, sports, everything was shut down during COVID. When they reopened, then we did the outside meeting there. We bought some land. The church bought some land, and we're in the process of clearing. That's a 40% angle there on that hill. And so we're busy clearing some land. So Lord willing, one day we'll have a building to meet in. We do special meetings at Christmas and Easter. We put up a tent, and it's a big time for visitors to come, particularly Good Friday. Good Friday is the largest church service of the year among the Zulu people. And so sometimes we have folks get saved at that service. Karen and I teach at a Bible Institute, and I teach Bible. This semester I'm teaching Bible Places and Customs. And Karen teaches sewing, sometimes baking, to give the ladies some life skills. The goal is to see changed lives. This was actually Peace when he was baptized, and so great to see how he's grown in the Lord. He's one who's been preaching for me while I'm here in the States, and so we're just thankful for what God does. Thank you.
You've seen there on the slides work being done, and we all need to work. We all need to be a part of what God is doing. So take your hymn books, 544, work. For the night is coming. 544, work, for the night is coming. There'll be a day when we can't work here anymore. Stand with me, 544.
Work, for the night is coming. Work for the morning hours. Work while the dew is falling. Work for the night is coming.
Brother Barrett's going to come and bring the special music tonight.
Amen. I pray that I sing this song as a prayer, as a reality in my life. It's called I Will Go.
See all the people crying out to know the Lord, searching for the simple truth given in God's word. Bound by chains of sin, searching for release, who will share the gospel now and bring them peace? I will go, I must obey, for Jesus is the answer. I know He's the way. He calls me now, His voice I know. While there are lost who need to hear, I will go.
Again, thank you. It has been a delight to be here. Thank you for your support, both prayer support and financial support. I've been encouraged. I don't know if Pastor's been encouraged. I've been encouraged with the good attendance. I don't know what it's like, but this is Friday night. There's lots of things to do on Friday night. Thank you for being here. You know, I was just thinking about... we show up. I got excited. A young man that is now preaching, that came to Christ. I mean, I hear things like that, and it excites me. I shared some stories last night that excite me. But you know what? Has very little to do with me. A whole lot to do with a gracious God. So it's fun. It's Mission Conference. It's fun. We show up, share a few stories of what God has done, and we blow on out here. But you know what? I trust that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you will be faithful to this church and to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as I was thinking about what to share tonight, because of being involved in different missions conferences, not like some of these guys, but usually involved with a missions conference or two each year. So I've prepared some messages about sharing your faith and about supporting missionaries and all sorts of different things. But for some reason tonight, it's not a missions message. But I will start with telling you, I'll be transparent with you. A few weeks ago, probably about 2 weeks ago, I was reviewing some of my scripture memory. My pickup truck is getting smaller and smaller, and stuff keeps falling off the back, and I have to review and review and review. So I was reviewing Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Boy, I thought I knew that. But anyhow, I do know it. Just trust me, I know it. But the end of it, here am I, send me. And you know what my thought was? My thought in a flash was, well, praise the Lord, I don't have to worry about that anymore. That was my thought. Now, look at me. I'm old. I'm not healthy. And I have a ministry. And you know what? My heart was smitten. I said, God, if you want to send me somewhere else, I can't imagine how exciting it's going to be. I love what I'm doing now. I can't imagine. Lord, here am I, send me. And I was almost embarrassed of myself that thought popped into my mind. Well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, I remember going out, Lord, where should I go? Is this the place? What do you want for me? And I thought, well, I don't have to. Yes, I do have to worry about that. I want to be exactly where God wants me to be. This is not the message, but right off the bat, are you surrendered to be where God wants you to be? Are you saying, here am I, Lord, send me? I trust that you, along with myself, are in that mode of saying, here am I, Lord, send me. But that's not the message for this evening. We're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And you're going to say, I know these verses by heart. I don't even have to turn to them, but turn to them anyhow. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tonight, I would like to zero in on two words and verse 1, living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. It's very interesting to me over the years how words have kind of changed meanings. That the words, even in a short period of time, when I was a kid, I didn't know what a hashtag was. I didn't. I knew what a pound sign was. I knew what a number sign was. But I had no idea what a hashtag was. So words tend to change. And I frequently use the 1828 dictionary. I go back to that. I use it often to look at words to kind of say, okay, what were they trying to communicate here? Because it seems like there's been a whole lot more changes between 1828 and now than there was those first couple hundred years. So I use that very frequently. For instance, if I would say windows, some of you are thinking, oh, we have four nice stained glass windows in the back of the auditorium and say, oh, yeah. Or the windows in our house are drafty. Now, some of you are thinking of an operating system on a computer. Well, I've used XP and Vista and 8 and 8.1 and 10 and 11. Maybe there's some other ones in there that I used. But if you're thinking about the wrong thing, you see how you're not getting the message. Just for fun, when I said Windows, How many thought about windows like that you look through? How many thought of an operating system? So if I am trying to communicate a truth, we have to identify the words. Some of you say, I don't even use windows, I use an apple. And some of you think, oh, an apple, big luscious apple. Crunch? You say, no, the kind that doesn't get viruses, you know, that kind of apple. So we need to identify what the words are. The word sacrifice, brings various things to our mind that were different than the first century Christians. Some of us might say, I'm going to make a real sacrifice tonight for my health. I'm going to have a dish of yogurt rather than ice cream. And we would call that a sacrifice. Or maybe we would say, I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to put $100 bill in the offering plate. Ooh, that's really sacrifice. Maybe you'll make the ultimate sacrifice and you'll miss the Super Bowl to be at church. Now, for me, I don't even know what the guys are, barely know what the guys are doing down there in the field. So it's really not a sacrifice. But when we think about sacrifice, we think about something very, very different. In the 1828 dictionary, it says to offer to God by killing, to destroy, to devote with loss. The dictionary, today's dictionary, looking up, says relinquish something at less than presumed value. In other words, I made a sacrifice and I sold the car for $1,000 more than what I think I could have really gotten for it. That's not anywhere close to the sacrifice that we're talking about in Romans chapter 12. A living sacrifice is a complete and total killing of disbanding yourself. But you said it says living sacrifice. Isn't that a bit of an oxymoron? Like, you ever hear somebody say, good grief? Is it good or is it grief? Or, well, it's the same difference. Now, this one I'm going to allow Pastor Boyer to address. Christian rock. Well, I'm not going to talk anything about that one, but living sacrifice is to a total disbanding of yourself. Most of you are not ever going to be called on to die for your faith. Although, the way this country's going, I don't know about my grandchildren, but most of you are not going to be called to die for your faith. But here's the question. Will you live for Christ? Will you live for Christ? The first mass shooting that I remember about was in Columbine High School. And the shooter came down the hall, and a girl by the name of Cassie Bernal hid under the library table. The shooter came in and looked at Cassie and said, do you believe in God? She said, yes, I do. And he pulled the trigger. Now, I realize that saying you believe in God does not make you a Christian. But if you back up and get the whole story, Cassie was a rebel. She was a rebel at home. And the reason I love this story is she went to a retreat at some camp. She came home, went up and hugged her mom and said, I'm different. And mom said to herself, yeah, right. We'll have to wait and see. Over the next weeks and months, she said she was a different girl. In her diary, it said on March 6th, it doesn't matter. March 6th is my second birthday. I was born again. So when she was saying, yes, I believe in God, she was saying, I am his child. And he pulled the trigger. The sacrifices that the first century Christians would have thought about is probably a literal sacrifice. And one of the first sacrifices, it's not the first sacrifice, but one of the first sacrifices that I think about is the sacrifice for the Passover lamb, when the Passover lamb came. And, well, you remember how Joseph was sold into slavery, and then all the children of Israel came down to Egypt, and then you remember how it says there rose up a king that knew not Joseph. And then Moses came down, and all the plagues, just all the plagues. In fact, just recently, I think of the plague of the frogs. It said they made piles of frogs. Now, in my mind, I can't picture how high these piles of frogs were. But imagine a pile of dead frogs. I mean, on a 90-degree day. That would be pleasant, wouldn't it? But what was the last plague? It was death. It was death. And that is one of the major sacrifices of those early sacrifices. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to look, what can we learn that might have popped into the first century Christians' head when they heard about the sacrifices? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of month, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor take unto his house, take it according to the number of his souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. I'd like to see if we can learn some lessons from this lamb. On the 10th day, they were supposed to go out into the back 40, and there they looked at all the lambs and all the sheep that were out just doing their normal thing. And they were supposed to pick one without blemish. So they look at that one. That one, you know, he's rooting in the mud. That's not how a lamb should be. And they looked at this one and they said, no, he has scars in his face. Looks like he's more like a coyote or, you know, whatever. They were looking for the perfect lamb to represent that lamb. That was out in the, can we say, the workplace, where they were every day. But they were looking for an acceptable sacrifice out in the back 40, doing what they were doing all day long, doing what their normal procedure was there. They came looking for this lamb that was without blemish. How is your testimony in the workplace? How is your testimony at school? How is your testimony with others? If God would be looking for a young man, an old man, a woman, a man or a woman that is without blemish to be this living sacrifice, are you a suitable sacrifice that could be used for this living sacrifice? When I was preparing this, just right before that, I had talked to a man that had done some work for us. And he told me something and I thought, that just does not sound right. Like a Christian man, professing Christian, I guess he's a Christian. I thought, it sounds to me like a lie. So when I was on the phone with somebody that had the book, the paperwork in front of them, I asked them the question. They said, no, that's not true. I said, does that happen often? Well, they said, not with most of our customers, but with him it does. was he a sacrifice without blemish? Do you know what I did one time? This is many years ago. Probably saved me $4.22 on my income tax. But I lied. I don't even know if it saved me $4.22. It was not much that it saved me. I went for years, and the Spirit of God would keep pricking my heart about that. I finally wrote out a check for $100, sent it to the IRS, and said, I cheated back, I don't remember what year it was. You know, I was not a sacrifice that was without blemish. Can you imagine? Why would you do something like that, brother, to save $4.20? I don't know how much. It wasn't much that I saved. I mean, I doubt that it was even that much. But here's the question. Are you without blemish? Are you a suitable living sacrifice? Where you work, where you go to school, where you do your things, would people say, that man is different? That man, that lady is without blemish. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. So if you remember, they went out on the 10th day. They went out on the 10th day looking for this suitable sacrifice. They scooped this lamb up and they took it home. And that was in their home until the 14th day, where it could be under close scrutiny, that they could watch that lamb. What are you like in your home? You know, I think of Psalm 101, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my home. You know, sometimes in our home is when we say, oh, well, I can watch this, and it's desensitizing you to the holiness of God. You know, a lot of the programs that we watch desensitize us to the holiness of God, and it makes us as not a acceptable sacrifice without blemish. Do you know, young people, when you, oh, come on, Mom, or Dad, or whoever it is, that makes you as a not acceptable sacrifice for God. Or, I was actually, the phone rang, again, when I was preparing this, the phone rang when I was just trying to tell my wife, can you turn the radio or the music down? I don't remember. And I'm thinking, man, did they hear that? They probably thought I was mad at my wife. I'm yelling, turn that down. But what are things like between you and your spouse? So the first question is, are you an acceptable sacrifice in your daily living? Are you an acceptable sacrifice in your home? And let's go back to Exodus 12, look at verse 6 and 7. And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in that evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. So you remember the story. There needed to be a blood sacrifice. There needed to be a blood sacrifice. Very back to that very first sacrifice. Do you remember Adam and Eve made fig leaves? But God said, no, they're not acceptable. That is your works. There needs to be the sacrifice of a lamb. There needs to be a blood sacrifice. I don't know who you are tonight. You can come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening. You can come to missions conference. But if you haven't applied the blood of Christ to your life, you're without Christ. You're without Christ. But in this case, it was a symbol of identification. It was a symbol of identification. So just picture here. The husband goes out and he sacrifices this lamb, and then he puts the blood in a basin, and rather than a paintbrush, they use hyssop, and he takes it over, and at about that time you hear, yeah? What's that, honey? oh, you just painted the door, so be careful. Okay. So you take and you dip the paint in and you go up to the door and you put a little dab here and you put a little dab up here in the lintel and you put a little dab over here. Now the blood was identification. Well, if you were the oldest son and the oldest son came along and he said, Dad, you know, tonight's the night the death angel is coming. Do you have the blood in the doorpost? He said, yep, it's all taken care of. And the son looks at it and says, wait a minute, I don't even see it. Yeah, look, right here. Yeah, and okay, up here. Yes, and right here it is. If you were the oldest son, would you have been satisfied with that? No. If I'd have been the oldest son, I'd have grabbed that old stuff and I'd... I mean, the death angel could have seen it from the other side of the village. Are you identified with Christ? Do you remember... Well, we'll get to that in a minute. There was a period of time that I was going to an IV room pretty regularly to get some IVs. And sometimes I would carry my Bible along into the IV room. Do you know there was a different atmosphere in that room just because I carried my Bible in? I mean, I had a nurse come and sit down and ask me questions. It seemed like the language in the IV room cleaned up. Just now, that didn't make me a Christian, but what did it do? There was some identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you and your workplace? Are you identified? Do you have a little dot of blood here and a little dot of blood here or a little dot of blood here? Or do people say, that is a Christian? He is different and he lets people know that he's a Christian. That's what we're looking for a living sacrifice. Somebody that is identified with Christ in the workplace. They say, that person, they're born again. They're different. They're a child of God. They're saved. And it's amazing to me how much easier it was, even for a conversation to go up when I carried my Bible into that IV room. Because already the ice was broken. I didn't have to say, well, you know, kind of get this conversation around the spiritual things. When I identified myself, and I realize carrying your Bible doesn't identify yourself as a Christian, but when I identified myself as somebody with respect for God's word, it was a whole lot easier to go into other conversations. Turn with me very quickly to John chapter 18. And this is so, well, let's get to it, and you'll see how this applies. John chapter 18, verse 15 and 16. And you remember the story. When Jesus was going before the high priest, verse 15, John 18, 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, the apostle John. The disciple was known unto the high priest, and John went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. So you get the difference. John went right in there and identified, this is Jesus and I am one of them. What did Peter do? Peter stood at the door without. I mean, he wanted to serve the Lord, but man, just going all the way in there was just too tough to do. Then went out the other disciple and was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her, and kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou also one of the disciples? And he said, I am not. Young people, do you know if at your job you make it known, I am a Christian. I'm going to be different. It makes it a whole lot easier. I mean, John, it was easy for him. He made it, I'm in there. I'm all in. Peter was out there, well, yeah, I want to identify with Christ, but he didn't get through. What did he do? He denied our Lord three times. You know, are we different? Is it a sign of identification? This is many years ago, but I was rooming with a guy. We were coming from different parts of the country to learn about milking equipment is the business that I was in. And just to save some money, he was coming from one part of the country for training, and I was coming from another part of the country for training, and we roomed in the same room. So, well, one morning, he would every night go out with the guys. They would go out to the bars, and he'd every night would go out with the guys, and I would walk around the motel and read and do all sorts of things. One morning, I'm sitting there having my devotions. He said, Jim, he said, I got to tell you how much I respect you for the way you have your devotions in the morning. But this is my chance to share the gospel with him. So I started telling him, oh, no, no, no. He said, you don't think that I'm a Christian too. He said, you don't think I'm going out and drinking with the guys, do you? He said, no, 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 I wouldn't do that. He said, I just get a Coke while they're getting a beer. Was it easy for me to keep my conversation pure and holy before the Lord or for him? If we take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, go back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, with head, with the legs, and with the prudence thereof. So, here we're taking the lamb, and just picture this. Yeah?
I have an idea.
You have an idea?
Yeah, I have a really good idea.
Well, what is it?
Well, I was just thinking, you've learned to like me, and I like Anna here in the family.
Yeah, we really like you. These last days, we've really, you're kind of like our pet.
Well, you have to put blood on the doorpost?
Yeah, we do.
Well, why don't you just stick an IV in me, and you can take out 2 pints, and you can put it in the doorpost. You can have the blood on the doorpost and still have me. Yeah, that's great. I love the idea. Honey, look, we can keep the lamb. He's going to let us put an IV, and we can take the blood. We could put it on the doorpost, and we can still have our lamb.
And the wife said, honey, we're supposed to have roast lamb tonight. Oh, that was such a good idea. That was really a good idea. But we have to have roast lamb tonight.
I got another idea.
Well, what's your idea?
Why don't you take and amputate my hind quarter, and you can roast that, and I'll be a 3-legged lamb for the rest of my life, and you can still have your leg of lamb tonight.
Wow, that's a good idea. Question. Would have that lamb been making a big sacrifice? As we think of it. Yes. Is that what God was asking for? God was asking, well, need to continue. Honey, we got this wonderful idea. The lamb said we can amputate its back quarter, and we can have leg of lamb tonight, and we can still have our lamb, and it's willing to walk around on 3 legs for the rest of its life. Isn't that a wonderful sacrifice it's willing to do? And the wife says, honey, we'll read it in verse 10. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. I'm sorry, little lamb. God wants all of you. God wants all of you. God wants all of me. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. I'll just turn to it. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Another oxymoron. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify. Now, we don't use mortify that much anymore. But mortify, you know, sometimes you hear a lady say, I was mortified. Or, you know, I just wanted to die. Well, that's the idea. If you through the Spirit do mortify the body, ye shall live. My question tonight is, are you the living sacrifice? Are you an acceptable sacrifice to God without blemish? Tonight I'm going to ask you five questions. Number one, have you ever applied God's blood of salvation to your very own heart? Have you ever received Christ? Okay, I'm saying, I'm at church on Friday night. What do you think? I don't know. I don't know. Have you ever put your complete confidence in Christ to save you? Number one. Number two, how are you in the workplace? How are you in the world? How are you at your school? Maybe you're like the guy that flat out lied to me. I'm telling you all this bad stuff, but maybe you're like I was in 10th grade. Imagine this. I thought I had every right. The teacher was giving a quiz. I was in 10th grade. The teacher is giving a quiz, and he walked down the aisle like this with the answer key in his back. He walked up and down the aisle. And because I was such a spiritual guy, I knew that I shouldn't cheat. So I decided I would just take the first two answers. I felt like I was, honestly, at that point I thought everybody else had taken all the answers. I'm only taking two. I was just a super spiritual person, wasn't I? For 2 years, God worked in my heart. Every time I'd hear a message about a clean conscience, about doing right, oh, the Holy Spirit of God would work on me. And I'd say, come on, it was only two questions. What's the big deal? Man, I remember the day of walking. I don't remember which day it was, but I remember the feeling of walking down Elizabethtown area public high school, going to Mr. Epler's classroom. And I didn't know if I could make it. And I went in there. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said I cheated. I didn't tell him how dumb he was. I just said I cheated. I said, I don't care. I don't know if you have to flunk me. I don't care. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said I need a clear conscience. And I remember he said, okay. He forgave me. And I remember leaving that room, walking, going the opposite direction. Man, I felt like it was full of helium. I was bouncing off the ceiling. There's still probably ceiling towels or bangs in the ceiling as I went down down there. There is nothing like a clean conscience before God. There is nothing like a clean conscience before God. Are you, wherever you are, an acceptable living sacrifice? Number three, what are you like at home? How do you treat your parents, your spouse? Are you watching things that are desensitizing you to the Spirit of God? Sometimes in our home is the most difficult place to be that living sacrifice. Number four, how is your identification with Christ? Do people say, I know, he's a Christian. He lets it be known. He lets it be known that he's a Christian. Are you one of these Christians? Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I try to fit in. I don't want to make waves. What's your identification with the neighbor kids, with your job, with your school? Number five, is there an area of your life that you are holding back? That lamb would have given a pretty big sacrifice by giving his hind quarter, but that's not what God wanted. My question for you tonight is, what are you holding back? Are you giving everything? Perhaps the Lord has been calling you to full-time Christian service. Perhaps the Lord has been calling. You know what it is? The Spirit of God is convicting you right now. There's an area of my life that I have held back. And I want to be an acceptable living sacrifice. Let's bow in prayer. Father God, do your work for your glory. Father, I ask the Spirit of God would work in each of our hearts to accomplish what he wants, to make us a living sacrifice. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm just going to get down through these five questions. Is there anybody here tonight that says, you know what? I am not saved. I have never applied the blood of Jesus Christ. I have never totally put my confidence in him to be my Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. If that's you, would you just lift your hand, and I would like to pray for you tonight. Number two, how are you out in the workplace? How are you out in the world? Are you without blemish out in the world? Are there things in your life that God has convicted you of that you say, oh, I got to get these right to be pure before God? I don't know what it is, but as the Holy Spirit, once again, I'm just going to pray for you. If that's you, there's some things that I need to get right, or there's one thing that I need to get right before God. If that is you, would you just lift your hand, and I would like to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Any others? Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Number three, what are you like at home? Sometimes at home is the most difficult place to just be an acceptable living sacrifice. Are you without blemish at home? Are you watching things? Are you doing things that you know are not pleasing to God? If there's something that God has put his finger on tonight, I would like to pray for you in closing. Is that you? Say at home. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Identification with Christ. Number four, identification with Christ. How's your identification with Christ at school, at the workplace, wherever you go? The Lord has put his finger in something on that area. Once again, I would like to pray for you. Anyone? Thank you. Yes, yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Put your hands down. And finally, the Lamb gave all. Is there an area of your life that you are holding back? You know exactly the area that it is. There's an area that God does not have, and you have not given all. If that's you, would you just lift your hand tonight? You have not given. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Father God, I've seen hands, you've seen hearts. Father, for some that are not without blemish in the world, Father, you know exactly what it is, and you know what needs to be done. And Father, many times the hard part comes tomorrow. Father, we think of some that are not without blemish at home.
And Father, I'm asking that you would help them to take the steps that they need to be what they ought to be an acceptable living sacrifice. Some that have not been identified, they just don't have a complete identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're like Peter that wants to be close. Father, you know the situations. I don't know them, and I'm asking you to do a work. And some that have something that they're holding back. Father God, I'm asking that you would help them to be willing to have the joy of being an acceptable living sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this time together.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a second, you'll hear the pianist begin to play, but you don't have to wait for that first musical note. The altar's open tonight. Will you do business with God? Would you come right now and get some things settled? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wasn't looking. Brother Fry said there were many hands. Well, let me ask you, is that hand raised going to do it for you? Is that what God wants? It's a good start. Are you willing to give that to the Lord and get those things settled? Would you come tonight at the Lord's work? Do you love yourself more than you love the Lord? Do you love the image maybe that you've built? Some of you have built up an image. It's not a true image. Do you love that image more than you love God and getting right with God? Will you come and get that right? Have a clean conscience before you walk out tonight? Will there be anybody here that walks out tonight that is keeping back God's blessing on this church, our impact in this community? Is your pride keeping you from having a burden for lost souls? I'm not going to delay tonight. I believe God worked in that message. I believe hearts were challenged and stirred. I believe there was conviction, but just to sit in the pew perhaps. Are you willing to be humbled tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar's open. Will you confess those sins to God? I wonder if God brought anything back to your memory from years ago, like Brother Fry mentioned. You still have never gotten that right with God. It bothers you. Month after month, year after year. And yet you shake it off. You shake it off. You haven't had victory in years. Are you right with spouse? Are you right with siblings? Are you right with church members? Well, not delay. It's between you and the Lord tonight. Will you let the Lord have his way? Can you walk out here tonight knowing that you have obeyed the Holy Spirit and is working in your heart? Or will you go into the weekend quenching the Spirit of God, grieving the Spirit of God? Father, thank you for the word that was preached tonight. We thank you for the special music, the presentation of what you're doing there in South Africa. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God tonight that was opened. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Lord, I pray tonight that each person here tonight, individually before you, obeyed your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray there be nobody tonight that leaves and has to fake the smile, fake the handshake, fake the joy, act as if everything's great between them and the Lord, when all the while they know it's not so. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be able to have a clean and pure conscience before you when we do business with the Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Lord, that you resist the proud but give grace unto the humble. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight that has never applied the blood, as we heard, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God on Calvary, never placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, turned from their sins, and depended on him wholly for salvation. Lord, I pray tonight, even as we dismiss, they'll come see me, my wife, one in the church, and say, hey, could I see you in the office? I need to get some things settled tonight. Lord, I pray there be no one that leaves tonight knowing that they have hidden sin, knowing, Lord, that they're living a lie at school, at home, at the workplace. Lord, they're one way at church, but that's not the real them. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would have a church body that honors and glorifies you in every way, Lord, and has that passion and burden for lost souls. Lord, thank you for the missions conference thus far, three tremendous services. Thank you for each of the men, the women. Thank you for each of our missionaries. Thank you for the good attendance tonight, Lord, the boys and girls, the teens. I pray, folks, we have a good trip home, enjoy some family time perhaps tonight. Lord, hope we'll be back tomorrow for brunch and fellowship, and then certainly for Sunday. Oh, Lord, lay a soul upon our heart, Lord, that we could share Christ with even tomorrow. And, Lord, introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.